This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
And you're tuned in to the Carol Cox Show, right here on K108.
People are strange when you're a stranger. Faces look ugly when you're alone. Women seem wicked when you're unwanted. Streets are unhuman when you're down. When you're strange, faces come out of the rain. When you're strange, no one remembers your name. When you're strange, when you're strange. When you're strange, people are strange. When you're a stranger, faces look ugly. When you're alone, women seem wicked. When you're unwanted, streets are uneven. When you're down.
And the Doors, and when you're strange, right here on K108 on this Sunday morning. It is 8 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock. It's time once again for another Sunday morning Carol Cox Show, and we have a guest in the studio this morning. And here's Carol Cox, and also Pam's in the studio this morning.
All righty, good morning, and thank you, Francis. When you're strange, the Jim Morrison and the Doors. I played that because we currently have some interesting actions going. You know, last week we talked about the smell bill or the stink bill that Ra Tam had put out. And for some reason, the Honolulu Holly seems to be in good spirit. And predictably, we can just wait and see something else that comes out of there. Seems to be it's more of a house of horror rather than a house of law and legislation and city councils and what have you. And this recent bill that they have was, and it was introduced by none other than Mr. Charles DeJoux, Councilman Charles DeJoux. And I'm trying to figure out where does this gentleman get the time to seem to... If you hear me talk about Hanneman's abilities and inabilities and missteps, but I don't know anything that Mr. DeJoux can really stand up to the plate and says, I really did this. And a while back I told you I was going to be talking about his military stuff, and I'm still working on that and waiting for some responses. But in the interim, what has taken place, I want to share with you. This is from the DeJoux camp, the people of his ilk, apparently, and I've traced back the IP addresses for these emails. Now, keep in mind, I raised the issue, did a news story, that Mr. DeJoux, on his congressional website, he's running for congressman, and on there he's pictured with the military uniform. And so having been being a veteran and understand what it is that soldiers go through daily and the hardships and the families and what have you that struggle revolving door deployments. And I see that, and I was a bit taken aback by this, and why I was interested in it is that I'm curious to know that what actual war has Mr. DeJoux served in? Now, he is a JAG, and he says he's a captain, and he's an attorney for the military. But my question is, we've now had two wars, 7 years, 14 years total, if you add them up. Did he go to any of those wars, or is he here? And the question is, how did he get to stay here? Who is this, a reliving of the Vietnam era? Only the special get to be excluded from deployment? And I'm sure we could have used a lawyer down at Guantanamo Bay to guide those guys in their missteps. But that's okay. It's not my place, but to condemn him for not going. But my question again is, how can he be so proud to wear this uniform while men and women are going 3 and 4 occasions being deployed from Iraq to Afghanistan and Kuwait and whatever? The Kuwait is not a war, but they've been deployed there and assigned there. And so I'd like to ask, when did he spend any of that time? And if you're out there, I'm sure you're listening, but if you do, please feel free and call in and share with us. And I'd like to know, did you get a special exemption or what? But I did get some responses, and I want to share with you. This is coming from his camp and the people of his ilk, apparently. One comment was, this is to the new comment on the Carol Cox Show, and what do you think? And you can blog us at carolcox.com, by the way. The comment was, you are an idiot. Well, that's good. And the second comment, oh, by the way, and that was anonymous. It seems that I've always thought if I had something to say, I would let you know who I am, what I am, because I can't be doing it in the spirit of being truthful and factual and trying to set things right and sit back and be mealy-mouthed about it. So you'd know where to come. You would know where to come and find the individual who made the comments. I think that's the most respectable thing. But they sign it as author anonymous. But anyway, an IP address, and we're tracking the IP address, 72130243173. So there's technology out there, folks, so there's not really much can be said about being anonymous. But anyway.
Carol, so that means if you do an email or stuff like that and you don't put it in your name, you still can track the person who did it.
You can track back to the server and all, so.
I didn't know that.
But anyway, you know, in this case, it's not really checking, because if people aren't willing to put their names to their statements, then, you know, I take it with comedy. But anyway, the next comment is, again, by author Mr. Z. And he states, or she states, you are an anti-military activist, and your bias is showing. This is a phony, trumped-up story. DeJoux is JAG, and all you have is a secondhand story from Edwards. Edwards, by the way, is Lieutenant Colonel Edwards, who is at the Army Inspector General's office, who informed me that that was illegal and gave me the directive and the numbers. And the final statement was, stick to the depleted uranium and anti-superferry BS. Well, I was really thrilled that that really made my day, because that tells me that you're out there listening. And I appreciate your comments. And if you ever just have the desire to really talk, I'd invite you on the show, and you can share those without the profanity. And you can come on, and I'll be happy to share with you and let you have time to throw stones or whatever you like. But in the interim, I still would like to have those questions answered. So the other thing is, what brings me in the full circle here about Mr. DeJew. Now, we know that he's going for congressman. So we got to watch out. You know, we talk here about being voter smart and voting your conscience and what have you. But this bill that DeJew, Charles DeJew, has introduced, 6-9 is the bill. And it's been getting a lot of play on the air and the media and what have you. And the question is, where does this councilman get the time? Where does he draw from his soul, from his conscience? We're running people off the beaches. We're running them out of the parks. We're arresting them. We're just doing anything you can as if they're not human beings. And believe it or not, under all of the trash bags and inside of the shopping carts and under the tarps and whatever, there is a human being involved. A human being that couldn't deal with the system, or the system has collapsed on him, or mental problems or what have you. And for the Honolulu Holly to be generating, and by the way, a lot of these are targeting the homeless people, or if not targeting, they will be impacted. And I think out there amongst all of us, someone should speak up, like myself and others, to say to DeJew, go find a job. I mean, if you run them off the beach, you do bad things to them, you desensitize us as if it's okay to just beat up on the homeless. Go get a job. I mean, you make your living at being a government politician. Can you not serve as a lawyer, someone? Can you not open an office? Can you not deal with the hardships? Because these rules that you're coming out with, for example, be it ordained by the people of the city and county of Honolulu, Section 1, the council finds that there are people who are sleeping, sitting, and lying down on public sidewalks. This creates an unsafe and unsanitary environment for those sleeping on the sidewalks and impedes the movement on and accessibility of those wishing to use the public sidewalk. Now, that might be true. And I don't want to walk along the sidewalk and smell urine. I don't want to walk along and see spittle and all the other things, or even human waste. But the point is here, the issue is, we have a bigger problem. And to come in and legislate, and in that legislation or in that law, you have desensitized the people as if it's okay. And you have the police running and pushing them off the beach. Where else are they going to go? They were in the parks, out of sight, out of mind, in a sense, because you didn't care about them there. Then you mustered up a force to force them out. Where else would they go? Right down to Waikiki, Charles. And so we have this. It's unimaginable that we could come out with a stink bill, or I call it the stink bill, what it is, and it does stink. This whole process stinks with it when we have this kind of behavior. And this is at the expense of our humanity. To get in the door of Congress, this gentleman brings this up, and it's all about that. And if he's successful, he'll tout it in our faces, and then he'll be up there in Washington. Is this something we want in Washington? I mean, maybe as a congressman, he'll propose a bill that's national. Don't sleep on the sidewalks. Don't do this. But anyway, I got Rob. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Carol.
All righty. How are you?
Carol, you know, Councilmember DeJew, he represents Waikiki to East Honolulu.
Mm-hmm.
And as I understand it, he was asked by his constituents in Waikiki to propose something to take care of the problem.
Right.
Because the people that are homeless were no dummies, and they were smart enough to figure out that, well, they couldn't sleep in the park,
mm-hmm.
so they just moved to the sidewalk.
Right. Well.
And then, by the way, I did hear him personally say that he really gave them credit.
Yeah.
for outsmarting the law, so to speak.
Well, yeah, but I take.
And he's an attorney.
Yeah. Well, that's frightening, and I mean, maybe we have this marrying or wedding of being an attorney, a politician, and all, and you got to go. But and clearly, I understand the history of it, that quote, his constituents requested it. But if that's the case, then I should get everything that I want when I make a request of a politician, and I've made many of them, and the majority of them go on unanswered. You know, my request, right?
Me too.
And so there are many issues that are out there. So if that's the qualifying factor, then I'm going to send him a laundry list of things, and I expect them to get him to write up legislation, if that is the rationalization, you know.
Uh-huh.
But in this case, we need to stop. I mean, if you go to my website, I've put a few pictures up there looking at some of the people. Now, there is a section in there, one of the ordinances, prohibitions, exceptions, right?
Yes.
No person shall sleep, sit, or lie on the public sidewalk, or on a blanket, a chair, a stool, or any other object placed on the public sidewalk. Subsection A shall not apply to any person sitting or lying down on a public sidewalk due to medical emergency, sitting or lying down on a public sidewalk due to physical or mental incapacitation. Now, my question is, do we believe any of these people are mentally incapacitated?
Oh, boy.
Yeah, well, I would tell you, the human spirit doesn't like to be dirty. The human spirit doesn't like to be soiled. The human spirit don't like to have mucus crawling, creeping out of the nose and the mouth, and lying on a sidewalk while other human beings walk by with a alligator purse on and shining. That we have dignity, no matter what our experiences are. Are these people that smart that they would lie there with tattered clothes on and soiled, and they're so soiled that they look like they're oiled? Is that the ones that are have outsmarted DeJew and the others that ran him from the parks?
That sounds like a no to me.
Well, you know, so that's the point I'm speaking about, you see. And so, bigger issue. We have a court system that is cluttered with smaller cases, so the policemen are tasked and overwhelmed with a lot of mundane things what should be taken care of by just a ticket and whatever, but the courts are swollen at the waist, so to speak, right?
Yes.
So now the solution is you take a guy who can't stand up, who lie there just one breath away from death, it appears, and you give him a ticket. And you're a lawyer, and you are a reserve officer, and you're an intelligent military intelligence and all of that. Where's the intelligence? You're going to give this gentleman or this lady a citation when they don't even wear shoes when it's raining or cold or hot or what have you? Where's the rationalization?
Well, according to him, because I heard him address this,
mm-hmm.
and he said that no policemen are being ordered to present citation to the homeless people, mm-hmm. that there are social workers that are going around and trying to offer alternatives to all the folks. I'm speaking of primarily
mm-hmm.
Kapi'olani Park.
Right.
And the last time I was at the park, I was shocked to see the encampment
mm-hmm.
at the back of the Waikiki Shell along the back boundary fence.
Right.
And I can't say that I approved of that very much.
Oh, I'm agreement with you.
Yeah.
It's unclean. Yeah, it invites vermin. It invites insects. And it also could be a reservoir for bacteria or the flus. I've always had concerns that a person who has a low immune deficiency and lying on the sidewalk poses a risk to all of us. But the question is, where is the humanity in this? I mean, I can sit down and write you 10 laws right now to cover everything. But we wrote laws to run them out of the parks, and that didn't work. We ran them off the beaches, and that didn't work. So what my point is, we need someone that's smart and stands up and introduce something that works, not to be impacting these people. Because I'm insulted that this is a leader who would tell me, and if you go anywhere, you go on any street corner practically, you will find quite a few people just lying there. What's the solution? Is it going to solve the people down in Waikiki, their issues?
No, this is an extremely difficult situation. And being born and raised here, Carol, I've watched it, you know, mm-hmm. grow.
Right.
And I really only began to notice it when I was probably about, maybe 20 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And it started off just as you know, a few guys walking around Waikiki that were really, you know, horrendously out of their minds, you know, so to speak, because I was attacked one night. I was in a restaurant just mm-hmm. ordering a takeout.
Mm-hmm.
And I was working, and I was on my dinner break, and one of the homeless guys that I recognized as a regular, right, he came in, and for no reason, he just kicked me with all his might in my leg.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my self-defense mechanisms really wanted to, you know, come out.
Right.
So to speak, but I realized who he was and that, you know, he was just totally mentally, you know, deficient
mm-hmm.
compared to normal people, so I just let it go. I just said, wow, man.
Well, you know, it's a fact, and
yeah.
not just me sitting here spouting, that a great majority of the people that are out there once resided at mental institutions, and the mental institution became overwhelmed and have freed quite a few of them.
Oh, and you know, that's so true.
And then we have drugs. So what I'd like to see is our illustrious leaders, rather than dipping down in the bowels of nonsense, go and create a law to get funding to make better medical care, make, you know, all of these things. So maybe if we did something to treat or monitor or what have you, and, you know, when they say, well, we have social workers out there, well, the social workers must not be too social, because there's people out there, they're increasing daily, you know. But to say that you're going to arrest someone who is laying on the sidewalk and he wouldn't know what planet he's on, or she don't know which planet they're on, and hadn't had a meal or a cold drink or a clean glass of water. And we think that that person's faculty, mental faculty, is going to allow them to conclude, oh, well, I better not sit on the sidewalk. So you're arrested. Now you have an entire process. So just out of curiosity, hey Rob, where would this person's, when they cite him, where would they send the ticket? Or where will they send the summons?
Oh, no, from what I understand, it's supposed to be a written warning.
Right.
And it's presented from the social worker to the individual if,
right.
if, you know, the individual is found to be sleeping on the
right.
sidewalk.
So you give him a warning, and this is okay.
And I know,
all right. And
I know where you're going with
yeah.
this.
Yeah. And so, okay,
oh,
eventually,
piece of paper.
Yeah. What limits and what file cabinet is he going to put in? Where is he keeping his file system?
Yeah. I heard that kicked around quite a bit.
Now, we here in Honolulu, this is paradise. It's not consistent with the Hawaiian spirit or the Aloha spirit, and it's just getting sickening. I mean, and when I see a guy presents himself, I get a little concerned that we are going off on a track that is going to take us down a road that, unless you're a capitalist and you have a business, you won't have a voice. I mean, you know, I can call this gentleman up, and I've sent him letters on other matters, and you know what happened? Give me a solution to the landfill. Get me a solution to the rail issues. Get me a solution to the potholes. Get me a solution to the taxes that are closing people and senior citizens and the hardships. Then I will consider you as being a leader. But don't give me stink bills on the bus and the train, and then you're running around and you can't even hold your head up, because the only reason you're getting it, being motivated, is someone telling you, you're my councilman and it's ruining our business. But councilman, you're the one who stood by and let them flush them out of the parks.
Serious eyebrow-raising things coming out of that building down there in the
yeah.
middle of town.
Yeah.
And I think the community that's paying any attention to it is really beginning to notice that, you know, and see who's running the asylum here.
Yeah, exactly. And,
Holy cow.
And I would think, I don't see these guys succeeding in businesses. I mean, I don't see any businesses, say, Tam and Associates or Tam Inc. I don't see any DeJu Inc. What I see is Government Inc. Right? So anyway, I got another call.
Well, very good.
Hey, Rob, thank you.
Controversy again.
All righty.
Thank you, Mr.
Cox. All right, bye. Good morning, Randy. How are you? Carol Cox Show?
Yeah, hey, I've never been in the military.
Right.
But I respect what they do. And I would think that what you said about Charles DeJu getting special treatment because he never went to any of the theaters of war,
mm-hmm.
that a lot of other military members have not gone to the theater of war, and it's not because they got special treatment.
Mm-hmm.
So, in my mind, I mean, that was pretty offensive to a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never been in the military, but for you to say that just because he hasn't been there, he got special treatment, does that mean, you know, that could be continued on to everybody else that who hasn't been there got special treatment?
Well, that's
and
good.
You don't know this.
Well, I can say what I do know is that, number one, if we have to redeploy families, let's get some new blood in there. Let's get some new muscles in there. Let's not have repeats of 2 and 3 times for one theater. So that and then to take
well,
it and wait now. I don't argue on, you know, you can have all the time you want, but this isn't the Rush Limbaugh or Sean Hannity. This, you can say what you want, and I'll give you adequate time. But my point is to overlay that and suggest that I am offensive to those that may have other reasons. There are many other reasons, but I'm talking in specific here, and I asked the question, and I will still ask the question. Why haven't he or hasn't he been deployed? We've had multiple deployments here. I have family members that have been deployed more than twice or three times in these two wars. So don't take the liberty of overlaying that. And if you're offended by it, but go ahead now. I'd be willing to listen.
I find it unfair for you to pick out one person that you have a personal issue with to say that he, in your mind, he's gotten special treatment, or you give the impression that he's gotten special treatment. It's an unfair thing for you to say behind a microphone that's reaching thousands of people that are going to agree with you just by hearing what you say.
And there might be thousands that listen to you and agree with what you say. You see, that's the art and the joy of radio and being able to talk, you see. I'd like to ask you, do you have any affiliations with Charles DeJu?
None at all.
None at all. So, do you know any other people that did not go to the theater personally?
No, I don't.
Okay.
And I referenced that beforehand.
Do you know any of them that went multiple deployments?
No, I don't.
Okay, but I do, see. And so, when I say that, and I'm just taking the liberty of expressing my thoughts, that's the joy of this, and If you got any, I would be willing to entertain. Go ahead and any other point that you say, but I really would like you to take consideration. But when you become emotional and tell me, well, I think it's the liberty you're taking. No, I said to you and to all of you that I asked the question, and I would like to have him to answer it.
But
how did he not get deployed? That was, if you'd listen, that was the question. I would like the question.
And I did listen.
Okay,
and
so,
as a soldier, or whatever he is under his command, mm-hmm. his commanders determine what he does and what he doesn't do.
That is the chain
of command.
Do you believe that an individual can get special treatment?
Yes.
Okay. So we don't know if he got special treatment. We don't know what the situation is, right? But one asking the question would like to know, did you get exemptions? Did you get waivers? And if so, why in a moment, in a time when we're redeploying, having a revolving door of soldiers and lives are being destroyed because they're having multiple deployments? So those are the basic questions, and I would ask them here, and I'd ask them in person, and I'll ask them anywhere. And so that is just the way it plays out, Randy.
Well, but you see, but you're just pinpointing someone that you have an issue with, and again, I pose it to
yeah.
You need to address this to the military for the others and I'm willing to, you know, I don't know for sure, but I'm willing to bet there are many, many, many others out there who have not gone to the theater of war for one reason or another.
Okay, well.
And so when you get a question as to why they got waivers, why they weren't sent.
Well, I've questioned many issues with the military. And by the way, when you tell me I should be careful in taking the liberty of impugning this man by suggesting that because there are thousands listening. Well, let me correct you on something and clarify. I don't have any issue with Charles DeJoux. So in that same spirit, when you make statements such as that, there are no issues. He is a city councilman. He is running for congressman. And those are questions that he will be asked, and I'm asking. So there is no personal issue. He is the guy that legislates. He is a guy who makes rules. He is a JAG. You understand? So when you take the liberty and freely suggest that I have an issue, I don't know the man. I have no issues, but he is a city councilman, and he is proposing a law that has some issues and some concerns.
Well, I wasn't calling about the law and the concern. I was just
I understand.
I understand. Thing you're saying about special treatment.
I appreciate that, but also, if we're going to make these rules for the road, I'd just like to clarify that if you say that I suggested that I have an issue with this man, I want you to be corrected, and so that the thousands of you that are listening that don't agree with me, there is no issue. He is a legislator. We voted him in, and we should be considering voting him out if we need sensitivity. We need some solutions to our homeless problems. You know, we need solutions. We don't need grandstanding on this issue. Anyway, I appreciate you calling in. Thank you. Anytime.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All righty. Well, I like that, the way things play out here. I was down at another note. The city council is going to be hearing this rule, this bill, and I hope that the many of you give them a contact and let them know. Let your city councilman know whether you're for it or against this bill. But the ACLU and others are raising issues with this, and I just think that if you're going to give people that are certified as being mentally ill and what have you, you shouldn't be making an exemption that if you're mentally ill, you can sit on the sidewalk. That's an exception. Most of the people that are there and that this bill will be impacting have some problem of sort. Okay, Anonymous, you there?
Okay, what's your solution there?
What's my solution to what?
To this problem. To the homeless.
To the homeless?
Yeah, what's your solution?
Well, first of all, there's many solutions, and if you're genuinely asking, I'll take the time to, if you're just trying to pit me in a corner. But I would say, I would start, number one, by looking at our facilities, that we house the people, that we don't give them releases. I would also, rather than, as we travel abroad, to look at how to import and bring more tourists here. On some of those trips, I would have my health department to accompany me, and I would meet with the other states that have been known to place their mentally ill on the plane and send them here. And I would be negotiating with them, asking them to reduce that type of treatment of the people. And I would also, while there are people that are out there, we can come up with a better solution. We could start with a simple soup truck or shower truck, something that would...
You cannot force people into these homeless shelters.
Well, you ask me what would I do, and you're telling me I didn't say we would force anybody.
Well, I know. But I'm telling you, you can't force people to go anywhere.
That is not part of my solution. You asked me... I'm only responding to what you ask me.
Right.
Okay, so when you suggest that we can't force people, I'm not suggesting we force people, you ask me. So I would start with the small things. Maybe some of these people don't get their medicines and can't afford their medicines, and it's difficult. I would see that we make a genuine effort, and maybe we could reduce some of that population. I don't know. I haven't spent a lot of time. But what I do know and understand, I can talk to this at length later on the homeless situation. But I am focusing more specifically on this bill. You understand?
And, well, the bill ain't going to pass, that's for sure.
All right. Well, I hope you're right. And wow. I don't mean to suggest that we should let the people stay there. You understand?
No, I understand that. It's a public sidewalk.
But also, okay. I mean, but imagine, take this for example. You give a gentleman a ticket or a woman a ticket, or you give them a warning, and they don't even know you're there talking to them, a great many of them. Yesterday, I drove around looking at various sites, and there were people lying there talking to themselves or just completely out of it. How are you going to deal with them? You're going to give them a citation? Or are you going to give them a warning? And they're going to go, oh, okay, well, thank you. This is my day to be rational, and I'm going to, oh, thank you, city councilman and officer. I'm going to take this note, and I'm going to leave. Is that the way it's going to work out?
I don't know.
I don't think so, because if it would have, it would have been that way already.
Something's got to be done.
Exactly. So put them in jail?
No, that ain't going to do it.
Okay.
That jail's already crowded.
Pardon me?
Nobody wants them in their backyard.
Well, they can come in my backyard. I mean, I'm not that insensitive.
Is your backyard big enough to hold all of these homeless people?
Well, it'll be bigger than a jail cell.
And then maybe you should make a...
Well, let's be reasonable.
You know, have a tent in your backyard.
Yeah, maybe I should, but that ain't going to happen because that's illegal, too. It won't meet the
code.
Yeah,
we all can talk about it.
Wait now.
You know, the ACLU and you guys can talk. Why don't you guys take them in?
Well, Anonymous, you don't vote. Remember last week you called, and then you come in with these heartfelt moments, and you have such great comments, but you won't even tell your name. So, you know, I'm not going to be disrespectful, but at some point, you know, if I'm to take this in and factor all your comments in, I'm going to want to know who you are. Because if we're just talking and you're afraid to give your name, then you're tasking my mental faculty, and that's not the way I operate. So anyway, I'm going to let you go, and
okay.
I got some other things. Aloha. Okay. Well, anyway, we're going to jump tracks here now, and... next week, I'm going to have Panos Prevedoros on, Professor Panos Prevedoros, and we're going to be talking rail and the alternative to rail, and please join in with us. But anyway, got another caller. Good morning, Lita. How are you?
Hi, good morning, Mr. Cox.
Yes, good morning. I was going to give you a call there and talk about your program.
Yeah, my program is I'm coming to Honolulu next Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at MOA, M-O-A, Balance Center,
mm-hmm.
To teach people how to access their subconscious mind
mm-hmm.
and change the belief
mm-hmm.
that can help them reach their goals faster.
Mm-hmm. You've had a clinic here in the recent past, correct?
I taught the workshop about a little bit over a month ago
mm-hmm.
there,
mm-hmm.
and people who have learned what it is and why it is are now able to actually do what they want to do in life after they took the workshop. And I want to share this knowledge with people so people can learn that they are the power, and they have the power. And the lecture that I'm giving is for free for them to check it out before they sign up for the workshop or the weekend. If people can actually go on my website, www.BelieveMantra.com,
mm-hmm.
or they can call me at 503-307-3287
mm-hmm.
to learn more about it.
Now, you
attend the free lecture on Wednesday and Thursday from 7:30 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. at MOA Wellness Center.
Uh-huh. So you have the basic psychic K, right? And it's a two-day workshop.
Yeah, it's
right.
a two-day workshop.
Right.
But I understand when people don't know what it is,
mm-hmm.
they become skeptical. People have taken a lot of workshops, they've read a lot of books, and I did too.
Mm-hmm.
So people don't know what is this new thing. It's not new. It has been there for 20 years. It's highly recommended by Dr. Bruce Lipson, who's a cellular biologist. That's why I'm offering this for free to people to at least check it out what it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just a lecture. People are able to learn how to reach their subconscious mind. They can experience muscle testing to reach their subconscious mind in this two-hour introduction lecture.
I see. And so it's going to be Friday, September 25th, and Saturday, the 26th.
Yes, that is two-day work, that's two-day workshop. But what they can do before, they can take my introduction for free, 7:30 to 9:30 on Wednesday and Thursday, on 23rd and 24th.
And again, give your website for contact.
My website is www.beliefmantra.com.
Okay. And your phone number again?
My phone number is 503-307-3287.
Yeah, I your friend of mine, whom you know, recommended this, Tina Cuzon from Pathways of Paradise. She also has your an interview with you on Pathways of Paradise at Olelo, correct?
Yes.
And so if people want to see more about that, they can go there and look and listen to the show?
Yeah, they can listen to the show. They can also go on my website. I have it posted there. I also have a lot of articles and radio interviews posted, secrets, you know, behind the secret. What is the secret, real secret? They can hear that. They can check it out thoroughly, and they'll be just wanting to come after they check it out. I guarantee that.
Okay.
Because people are learning that, you know.
Okay.
They need to know more about it than to just know what it is and why it is, to how to do it now.
All right.
That's what this work is about, how to do it.
Okay. So, Rita, if you, when you come to town next Sunday, give us a call and let us know how it's going.
Sure, we'll do that.
Okay. And it's Rita Soman. She'll be here in town with the workshop on Friday, September 25th, and Saturday. And this is at the
free lecture on 23rd and 24th.
This is at 3510 Nu'uanu Poly Drive, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, so 3510 Nu'uanu Poly Drive here in Honolulu. Okay, well, thank you, Rita.
Thank you for giving me an opportunity to speak.
Okay, aloha.
Thanks. Bye.
All righty. Well, we're getting down the time, and I got Pam Davis here from Animal Advocate, Inc. To give us an update on the Bonnie Pang or the Animal Haven issue. And sorry, Pam, as things went, as I say, they go left and right, but I enjoyed. And anyway, what's going on with the Bonnie Pang?
Well, Carol, just to let you know what we've been doing, on August 23rd, actually, we filed a complaint with Gail Haraguchi, who is the director of the Department of Customer Services for the city. They oversee the animal control contract that which the Humane Society has. And what we did on August 23rd, we filed a complaint and a request for investigation regarding the Jennifer Kishimori situation, which you've discussed here. Where Jennifer didn't refuse to speak with the Humane Society. She merely asked them to consult her attorney, at which point Pamela Burns considered her to be, I forget the exact word she used, but...
Adversarial,
that's it.
And
therefore, we asked them, because this is taxpayer money that's being used under the contract, and to deny Ms. Kishimori the use of the facilities there, we didn't believe was correct, and therefore we asked Director Haraguchi to investigate the situation. In addition, we've written some other letters. We wrote to the prosecutor, Peter Carlisle, on September 13th, asked him to decline prosecution of Mr. Pang, and of course talked about the federal lawsuit, which was filed on September 11th. We've also sent a request to City Council on September 14th, asked them for their services to investigate. And then there's the issue of Becky Rhodes. You're familiar with that one, Carol?
Dr. Becky Rhodes.
Dr. Becky Rhodes is the director of the Kauai Humane Society, and in the lawsuit, this is a federal lawsuit, in that lawsuit, it does talk about her attending, I think it was called a surreptitious meeting in Honolulu with Pam Burns and others from the Hawaiian Humane Society, as well as the Humane Society of the United States and a Honolulu Police Department officer. And so our question to Mr. Resentis, who is the director of finance of the county of Kauai, they oversee the animal control and spay-neuter contract, which the Kauai Humane Society has in the amount of $665,617 per year, and basically asked him, did Kauai County officials sanction this meeting of Dr. Rhodes on the island of Oahu?
Yeah, what business would have been of hers to be here coaching, counseling, or whatever, consulting the Hawaiian Humane Society about investigating a photograph or videotaping the Bunny Payne residence?
Yes, and it, you know, here on Oahu. And why was she involved in this matter? I mean, since it is located on Oahu and not Kauai. And we asked Mr. Resentis if Dr. Rhodes' attendance at this meeting was part of her contractual agreement with the County of Kauai. And we also asked whether or not the County of Kauai had any knowledge that Dr. Rhodes was working in her official capacity on the Pang Animal Haven matter here on Oahu. And we wrote that on September 16th.
Well, this matter with Mr. Norman Pang, I mean, potentially he still can get prosecuted.
Yes.
Because as it stands, the Hawaiian Humane Society reports that it had submitted this matter for prosecution for cruelty. And I'm quoting them, cruelty and what have you. So it's not over, and Mr. Payne is basically a victim of this practice. And I'm in receipt of an advertisement from the Humane Society of the United States asking for money.
Oh.
You know, me personally, I'm thinking, why would I give them money if this is their practice? If they would lend themselves to such a practice to serve as agents. And in my opinion, this is exactly what they did, to serve as agents, to go in to help a man who's grieving, well, who basically hadn't started to grieve because he called immediately upon learning the death of his wife and start to seek assistance.
Yes, he did.
Wow, how vulnerable is that?
Yeah, it's terrible. And then especially when you accuse someone like that of hoarding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you have situations like the lady, the cat lady, Kathleen, who is hoarding animals and who the public has been complaining to the Hawaiian Humane Society for more than 10 years, and they haven't taken action at all.
At all.
And therefore, how can they then turn around and do this to Mr. Pang?
Yeah, and I've sent complaints and called complaints, and I think you have too, to the city council about this lady there on the sidewalks with fecal matter and blocking the sidewalks and cats and 20 cats at a time and chickens and what have you, and nothing.
Nothing.
You know, and that brings me back to my earlier statements about, you know, what is this bill about keeping people off the sidewalk when they get hundreds of complaints on this one individual and they do nothing?
Yeah.
But anyway, one second here. Ed, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, good morning. I don't want to interrupt. I was good.
No, go ahead, Ed. Always. Go ahead.
No, on the fact about Charles the Duke. And,
I do.
You know, I listen to him on the Clear Channel. They have their darlings that come on their show weekly. That's Charles the Jew, Sam Sloan, the Ever Ready Battery, runs, runs, and runs, although he's against, he's for term limits. But he was, he's very extrovert and fast talking, and I don't think he'd do well in Congress. Those people there did talk slow. But in regards to his military, he keeps bringing it up every week on the Rick Amata show. I think he's now on the Mike Buck show himself, the Hawaiian language, like mentioning Ka'ava and Ka'ailua. I think that's a mockery of the Hawaiian language, and this is our friend Mike Buck. Mm-hmm. And he still calls Kauai Kauai. I know Kauai is two eyes, but we have only one Kauai. But Charles Jew, he talks about he's going on his 2 weeks training duty, and he's going to be away from his family. Mm-hmm. And I have to agree with you. The JAGs, I'm sure there's billets for JAG officers in Kuwait, Afghanistan, and Iraq. And so there are legal officers assigned there on every headquarters mm-hmm. station. Now, why he hasn't been assigned, he's a reservist, whereas National Guard and regulars rotate. I don't know what to tell of it, but you got to look back at Tulsi Gabbard, who was a politician who volunteered to go to Iraq and gave up her political career to serve the country. And I don't know. This policy of Jew is using his uniform. I have to agree with you that you aren't supposed to use your uniform for political purposes, and that's exactly what he's using. But time short, I'm going to watch the Thunderbirds.
Well, okay, and have a good day. And
watch our heroes.
And thanks for mentioning Tulsi Gabbard, because that is a perfect example. And the funny thing is, she didn't wave it in our faces daily. That's, you know, so she was a good legislator. That, you know, I enjoyed working with her through her office. So anyway, Pam, real quick, we got about one more minute. And anything else do you want to ask?
No, just one last thing we did was we did write to the board of directors of the Humane Society as well. Mm-hmm. And basically asked them, because we believe that these actions on the part of the leadership may turn out to be a liability to the taxpayers of the city and county of Honolulu.
Because they have a contract.
Exactly.
From the city and county of Honolulu, and there's liability there. So I don't know what the attorneys are going to do, but I'm sure they're not going to lay down on the job and let this Humane Society of Hawaii and the HHUS continue its practices. So anyway, thank you for joining me. This is the Carol Cox Show. You can pick us up at carol@carolcox.com. That's CAROLLCOX.com. Aloha.
Lord, I wonder what's got the matter. I'm tired over time. It seems that the hours. Everything I can, but I hold up my hand. Lord, I'm trying to make it understand. Lord, you know what? Everybody, they tell me somebody done hoodoo the hoodoo man. Now, you know, I buzzed your bell this morning, baby. You had your elevator running slow. I buzzed your bell, little girl, take my phone up. A third floor, but I hold my hand. Lord, I'm trying to make you understand. Lord, you know, they tell the baby there's somebody on hoodoo, the hoodoo man. Look at him, baby.